AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Ooh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy. It's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkle Media.
And jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
But I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Laying Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Jack Merkel.
And that's not my dad. What's up, dude?
Hey!
Yeah, so my dad actually had to call out today because he is sick. I was sick earlier in this week, and I actually had to take a COVID test. It came back negative, thank God. Actually, I don't know if I should thank God about that, because you know what? If I would have been out with COVID, it's 2 weeks being out with COVID, and I would have got paid from work to be out.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe been worth it, huh? Maybe I should just go down to the local nursing home and start licking the popsicle sticks that are empty and see if I can get some COVID.
Don't bring that on yourself, Tony.
Hey, it's free money.
Oh,
it's free money.
Gosh.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm glad I didn't have COVID this week. It really is a blessing that it all kind of worked out and stuff. So, but my dad is sick. He doesn't have COVID. He just has a cold, but it definitely wasn't going to work for recording today. I'm still trying to recover with my voice too. So, anyways, Jack's here filling in with the intro with us, and it is awesome to have Jack in studio. Listen, guys, if you have a crazy and wild experience that you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And Jack, dude, it's 2020. What does that mean, bro?
That means you got to prepare with HLL, homie.
HLL.com, bro. Prepare with HLL.com because it is a crazy year. And I promise you, listen, if I'm wrong on this, you can come back to me next year and say, Merkel, you're stupid. Everything worked out great. But I'm telling you right now, I promise you, 2021 is going to be more of 2020. I promise you. So get prepared for the emergency, whether it's a pandemic, a crazy storm that rushes through your area, or the worst, civil unrest. Make sure you're prepared to take care of your family. We don't sell ammo, we don't sell guns, so you got to go somewhere else for that. But if you want food, we offer emergency preparedness food that lasts up to 25-year shelf life. And if you get the four-week supply, we'll chop $100 off for you right there on the spot. That's a great deal. And on that website, preparewithhll.com, you can get other stuff other than food. Just surf around, click around, and get stuff. Because I promise you, there's no better feeling than knowing that you're prepared to take care of yourself and your family if the crazy unexpected happens. And to be honest with you, friends, 2021's right around the corner. You better just start expecting it because it's coming. So, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. Okay. So, Jack, who do we got this week? Because I know you produced the audio. So, who are we talking today?
That's true. I did. Yeah, this week we have Joe. He's an aspiring CDL holder. Can we get an applause?
Yay!
So, he's looking to get into the business. But right now, he's currently a forklift operator. And he's been doing that for a little while. Yeah. I mean, he's got a wide array of stories to go through. You know, he was a dispatcher at one point, did some, you know, trucking and stuff like that. But this guy, he's looking to get into CDL. But he's got some pretty good stories, man, I'll tell you.
Yes, he does.
He's got a sunroof that was, you know, in the trailer bed. That's hilarious.
Making sunroofs with trailers. Let's get to Joe right now. Today we got Joe on the show. Joe, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thank you.
I'm glad you're here, man. Hey. Dad, say hi.
How you doing, Joe? It's definitely good to talk to you. I guess he has to tell the old man what to do, you know, step by step. Come on, Dad, say hi.
Come on, guys, snap up here a little bit. So, Joe, man, you're saving up for a CDL. Why would you do that? No, I'm just kidding. So you work kind of around trucks and everything, and I guess that's why you want to kind of get into driving truck.
Yeah, it is. I'm hoping I can get something like a dump truck, do something like that, or something where I, you know, no offense to what you do, where I'm not lugging freight anymore, like an LTL type thing. I've been around that enough to know I'm not sure that's the trucking I want to do.
Unless you want to work at night like I do. I don't touch the freight.
Yeah,
I just drive. Point A to
I
point
like
B.
Sleeping it at night, personally.
Me too. I do understand that. I really do. But no, you want to own your own truck? Is that your goal? You'd like to own your own truck at some point, or are you just looking to drive? You know, to be a, you know, doing dump truck type of stuff.
For now, at some point when the kids are out, our youngest is 9. Some point, we would like to get a truck and then go on the road together, my wife and I.
Wow.
Just to see the country and to get paid while we're doing it. We actually get along really well, so it would be fun for us. I know there's couples that couldn't do it, but we could do it. We would enjoy it a lot. And then when we're in town, we just, whichever kid has the nicest house, we'll just stay there while we're in town.
You think like I do, dude. That's awesome.
Don't get any ideas, Pops. All right.
Right now, you're the one that has a house, so you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I got a floor mat somewhere for you.
Wow. You know, you raise them, buy them books, get them clothing, and then all I do is like give you a floor mat.
There's a futon outside the studio.
Not even a couch. Huh?
No, not even a couch. I just got a floor mat. What did I do? Move into the gym?
It's funny that we bring this up and it has nothing to do with the show, but I literally was thinking this morning about the idea of, because the way the world is and stuff, you know, preparewithhll.com.
Exactly.
I was thinking if it got bad with the economy, I'm not moving into my parents' house. They'd have to move here because I'm not moving my entire family. And I was like, but where are they going to go? And I started thinking, I started like in my head redesigning my basement to add a room into it and stuff. I'm just like, that would suck.
I'm consigned to the basement.
What do you want, my room? Get out of here.
Hey, I'm the old man.
Yeah, you're already halfway to the grave. I'm putting you down in the basement.
Oh, what a great conversation. I think we should move on. So, Joe, how are you doing?
Well, yeah. guess you know where you stand, right, Brian?
I certainly do. I'll be sleeping in my car if everything falls apart.
Hey, you'll have heat there.
Yes, that's true. But anyway,
oh man.
So eventually down the road, you're talking about you and your wife getting a truck and traveling together, and that would be cool. I mean, if you guys can do that and make it work, that's fantastic. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's the plan for now. But you know, life happens. I've been planning and trying to get my CDL for about 10 years now, and just life keeps happening. And it's like you can't afford it, or you got to work the job you're at because you can't afford to leave that to pursue something else. And so hopefully we can move in that. If I can get my now and work, save up some money by the time the kids are out, we should be able to do it.
Yeah. You know, I brought that idea up to my wife about hitting the road and getting a rig and driving together and stuff. And to be honest with you, I think we would do good, but my wife gets car sick all the time.
Well, that's not a good idea.
No. I'd be like, again? I got to pull over again? You're killing our time here, dear.
Yeah, that wouldn't work out too well.
No.
But like, now, what part of the country do you, not where are you living at? I don't mean that, but like,
we want your
part
address.
Of the country is where do you live?
I'm in
Midwest, Western, or?
Eastern Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Spokane. We were just west of the Idaho border, about 35, 40 miles. I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
That's
very cool.
Snowing outside right now. And
so, really?
Yeah. Fun. A little bit. Just trying to.
So you, forklift operator, want to become a truck driver.
Yeah.
I also remember you saying something about working in the dispatch office for a while for an LTL trucking company.
Yeah, I did that. I did that for about 4 months. One of my previous jobs, I met he was the line manager, and he left that company. I left that company, and then he got on with a different LTL company. And he called me up. He's like, dude, I got a job as a scheduler, made it up just for you. I want you to come work for me. And I had a pretty decent job at the time. I was like, well, if you pay me this much money, I'll come work for you. He's like, done deal. And so,
wow.
Yeah. So I quit that job and I went in to work for him, and he literally created a position for me because he wanted to train me to be his assistant, his second hand man. And then the owner of the company decided to part ways with my boss, and a month and a half after they parted ways with him, they laid me off and eliminated the position he created for me. So it ended up being about a 4.5 month run, but inside a dispatch office at an LTL company, you see enough stuff in four and a half months to know that's probably not what I want to do.
Decision made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Right.
It was, yeah. I think it would have been all right if I could have kept working for him, because he's a good guy. And the company he went to after that, he tried to recruit me out there, but it's way out in Idaho. The hours he was offering me for that position was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I don't do those hours, man. Like, I got kids that have to get to school, and I can't be, you know, on a 45-minute drive each way. Everything is good on the roads. And so I just like, I can't do that with kids. And at the time I was a single dad, so especially couldn't do it. And so, but it did teach me that I don't want to be a dispatcher. So it was a good experience in that way. It's a lot.
It definitely was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of stress, you know, that I would watch the dispatcher, because I sat right behind him, and he'd have 3 phones to his head at times, you know, and be typing and somehow typing on the computer at the same time. And
yeah, I always know how the day's going back in the office, because when I call in, if it's a good day, my dispatcher Jim or Greg, but I'm thinking of Jim right now, he'll be like, "Hey, Merc, that's a good day." Yeah. When I call and it's a bad day, he goes, hello.
Yeah. That's how it was. That's how it was with this guy too. He was really good at it. He worked for a LTL company out of Seattle before he moved over here. So a huge operation. So he was used to a way bigger operation anyway, but I never saw him throw anything, cuss at anybody, walk out. There's times where he'd turn around and give me a look and I knew he was mad, and he'd turn back around and, yeah, what can I do for you? I'm like, dude, you got way more patience than I do. I'd be throwing the phone at the wall. They'd be buying me a new phone every week if I had to do what he was doing. But there's some people that can, and there's some people that can't.
Yep. I'd rather sit in the seat and drive.
I throw phones dealing with dispatch.
Yeah. Well, we
throw phones with dispatch or at dispatch.
It's a good thing I have an office that's out in the road. Just kidding, Jim and Greg.
we knew the drivers would do that too, because they'd come back every once in a while with a broken phone. Like, what happened to that? Oh, I dropped it. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. You dropped it. Did you drop it after we told you you had three more pickups to do? Is that what you dropped it?
I dropped it with force.
It came out of my hand. Gravity took effect with a little extra oomph.
That particular LTL company I worked for, they were the ones, they took all the loads that all the other LTL companies in town wouldn't deliver. So mm-hmm. we're talking out in the sticks, up in the mountains, Canadian border, we did it all. And so you'd have, and part of my job there was I would call the customers to schedule a time for our truck to go out there. Some of these places we'd only go to once a week. And so you'd call a customer. Customers told on the computer, on the website, that the package should be arriving that day I'm calling them. But it arrived at us, you know? And so
right.
then you're telling them, well, my truck only goes up there on Thursdays, and you're calling them on Friday. So you're like, I can do it next Thursday. And then they start yelling and screaming. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. Like, the reason it's this way, you pick the cheapest shipping possible, which means.
Let me tell you, you're talking to the bottom of the barrel right now. You want better service? Call one of the companies you've heard of.
Yeah. Pay for UPS shipping next time, you know. But
there you go.
And then I always had a map on my screen, so I'd know about where they were, and you'd look at this map and you're like, there's no way a truck and trailer is getting to their house. But you always ask them first. You're like, can a truck with a 42-foot trailer get to your house? Oh yeah, no problem.
We've had them in here all the time.
Yep. UPS comes out here all the time. Like, okay, we're not UPS.
Yeah.
You know, or
we don't have a little round truck.
Yeah, there's logging trucks out here all the time. It's like, well, logging trucks have special suspensions that we don't have. We're not off-road trucking company here. Can we get there? And they'd be like, oh yeah, for sure. So you gotta go by their words. So you'd send the driver out there and he'd call you from the main road and be like, there's no way I'm getting this truck down their driveway. So then we'd have to call the customer and say, my driver can't get to you. You need to go meet him at the road. And 9 times out of 10, they'd be like, all right, I just want my stuff, so I'll go meet him. But you always get that 10th guy who's like, no way, this is front door delivery. He needs to make it down here. Well, do you want the truck to live at your house forever? Because if he goes down there, he's not getting that truck back out of there. So you, there's just no way. You own his truck at that point.
And we're charging him more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that's stressful.
It would get stressful with that. Most people understand that they live in the middle of nowhere. That's hard to get stuff. And they'll just be like, hey, I'll meet you in town at Jim's Tavern or wherever and just pick it up off the back of your truck there. And, you know, that was most of it. But you'd always get that one person who's like, no, I had front door delivery and you're going to get it to my door.
You know, Joe, I have a friend who has a YouTube channel called North Country Off Grid, and he lives off grid, him and his family. I mean, not totally, but they're transitioning. And he tells me when he orders something, like a package, and it comes UPS or FedEx or something like that, the drivers always have a hard time finding where it is and stuff. And basically, what they wind up doing is leaving his package down on the side of a road, like two or three roads down. And he drives like a mile or two just to go get it because they have no idea where he lives, which is kind of the purpose. It's kind of right. The point. He lives he's in Idaho and like North Idaho. And it's just real rural out there and stuff. And he's just mission accomplished, but it's still an inconvenience.
Even Google Maps hasn't found him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that happened with us all the time. There, you look up an address on the map and it's like, this address doesn't exist. It's like, well, I'm looking at it. I just, I've got a phone number and an address. I'm here and Google's maps doesn't even know it's out there. We used to be most of the time. But a lot of the times you do that and then you just call the customer and be like, where do you live? Can't find you on a map. And that's most of the time when they would say, yeah, you're not going to find us on any Google Maps. We'll just meet you in town, man. There's no way you're getting the truck out here. But
it's like there's a bush about a quarter mile down. Oh. I tied a red string around it. You got to hook it right there. Yeah. And that's not the end of my directions.
No, you'd get that all the time. The big rock on the left-hand side and the smaller rock on the right-hand side. And then take a left 3 miles after that. Okay. And I'm going to give you my driver's phone number and I will have him call you.
I was just going to say, imagine now that's in the dispatch office. Now imagine you're the driver and you've got to follow that direction. Okay. I'm looking for a rock, a big one on the right side and a small one on the left side and a red string tied around the bush. And I don't see any of it.
Well,
down those roads.
We had one driver that had worked for the company for 20 years. Like he started there when the owner started it and he knew every route. He knew I'd look, show him something on a map. He's like, oh yeah, I can get there. Or show him the map. He's like, nope. And if he said he couldn't get there, then nobody was going to get there. And so he was just like, give me the ticket with the phone number. I'll call the customer. I'll figure it out every time. He's like, I'll figure it out. I know where that's at. And then you have the younger guys who are like, they'd look at it like, oh yeah, I can get in there, man. No problem. And then they'd call you. I'm stuck. Thought I could get in there. I'm stuck.
Yeah.
We told you, man. We told you. But that was an experience by itself, just working in the office. Then you get the drivers calling you on the cell phone. And then you've got customers blowing up the regular phone and the emails, 500 emails a day. And that just made me learn. I'm not an office guy, man. That's just not for me.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
My favorite work was just me and my forklift, man. That if I could just get back to that and make a good living, I would do that. But it's hard to make real good money just operating forklifts. It doesn't pay that well around here.
Huh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's different around here.
Yeah.
I mean, our company, the guys at top rate doing forklift, they're in what, the low 20s, mid 20s, something like that?
Low 20s, I guess.
Low 20s. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I mean,
I don't know what, compared to Washington state.
Yeah, that's true. Washington.
I don't know what
I hear Washington's pretty expensive state to live in.
Yeah, the west side, Seattle, Tacoma, that stuff, that's you can't even buy a two-bedroom house for less than $300,000 over there. But
wow,
here where I'm at, you get, we got a four-bedroom house and I got it for $180,000 14 years ago. So, but here in Spokane, at least, drivers start out in the low 20s. So, you're paying your drivers the low 20s. They're not paying their forklift operators on the dock that.
Yeah.
Right. So at a point with three kids, need to make a little bit more than what's out there for that, which is why I'm leaning for the CDL.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good career. It is a good career. I've been doing it long enough to
Yeah, and think of it this
way. I have an honest opinion. I mean,
were you a forklift driver at an LTL company too?
I did it a little bit for the LTL company. It's mostly I've done it in distribution centers is where I've done the forklift operating. And I've always pretty much just been in the receiving departments. It's shipping and receiving, depending on the company. But so I'm the dude that when you bump the dock, I'm the dude driving into your forklift unloading you. You know, I'm the guy that's getting you in and out if I can, you know.
Right.
If you're nice to me, I'll get you in and out as fast as possible.
That's the key.
Yeah, I asked that because, I mean, and if you were a forklift driver in an LTL company, moving into a truck, at least you'd have heat and AC because,
yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things, man. Working on a dock, like at an LTL company, for people who are listening that don't know, like the company that I work for, it's an LTL company, and our dock is not indoors. We have, it's a cement platform all the way around the building, and it has bumpers where trailers just back in all the way around, and the doors are up. Year round, day, yeah. All day. So cold, hot, it doesn't matter. You're getting the weather. When it's raining real hard and the rain's going sideways, you're on the dock and you're getting smacked in the face. It has a roof over it, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how the dock at the LTL company I worked for was too. And that's how most of the distribution centers and warehouse I've worked for are too. Because, you know, especially in a distribution center, you work in receiving, you're in the front. Same thing. Your doors are pretty much open all the time, and you got trucks coming in and out. It's trailers aren't heated. Our one outfit I worked for, it's a there's a pet and farm supply distribution center, so it did, you know, pet food, lawn and garden supplies, all that kind of stuff. And they had, I want to say it's about 24 foot ceilings. 200,000 square feet distribution center with heaters on the ceiling that they set to 38 degrees so that the pipes wouldn't freeze. So,
nice. So thanks for keeping me warm.
Yeah. So no, so we were literally in a building, but in the winter, sometimes we would go outside in the winter to warm up because there's sunshine out there. You know, and you could at least stand in the sun and feel warmer than you were driving, running your forklift back and forth in 38 degree warehouse, you know. And
sure.
Summer is the exact opposite. Summer, you'd go outside to get a breeze because it's 110 inside. And they don't let you wear shorts because it's a safety hazard. And
really?
But yeah, that place. Huh. Most places I've worked at, there's for the dock guy. There's really not a dress code. As long as your shirt doesn't have, you know, middle finger on it or something. Like, but that place, one guy stepped on a piece of metal banding and sliced his leg up, had to get 3 stitches, and they said, no more shorts. Gotta wear jeans. Hmm. Right. Because one guy got 3 stitches.
I had a question for you.
Yeah. Oh no, go ahead.
Did you ever have a problem working at that feed place? Like driving your tow motor inside of a trailer and somebody pulls away?
Yeah, that was.
I saw that in your email. I was like, I have got to ask that question. I want to hear that story.
I was just going to say that was the place where somebody tried to take me for a ride.
Tell us about it.
So we had a mill where we milled our own feed for horses, livestock, you know, that kind of stuff. And we had 2 28 foot trailers that were short, so they didn't reach the dock locks, because we had dock locks. So, you know, for people who don't know, when a truck backs in, we hit a button and this hook comes up and grabs the end of their trailer so that they can't pull away or roll away while we're working inside. Well, these 28 footers, the dock locks didn't work. They wouldn't catch the trailer. And so one of our drivers had just come back from the mill with a load of feed, and I unloaded him, and I had to send raw material back to the mill with him on his next run. And I told him after I unloaded him, I'm like, they got paperwork in the office for you. I got to load six skids on you to take back over there. And he's like, all right, I'll go get it. So I'm doing that. I get two pallets loaded on, hear him fire his truck up. Not a big deal. They always fire the truck up, get the air going, all that stuff. And I roll back in with the third pallet, set it down. And I feel like the trailer lurch a little bit. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then all of a sudden, I see daylight in the back of the trailer. And I'm about...
That ain't good.
Nope. And I'm about 10 feet away from the door at this point. Still on my lift. I just flipped into neutral, set my foot on the brake. Already got my seatbelt on because we had to, but... I just sit there. I'm honking on the horn, but he can't hear me through the trailer in his cab. You know, one of my coworkers sees it, comes running out the man door. He's cussing. He's yelling at the guy, stop, 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 stop. And he stops and he's like, what? He's like, Joe's still in the trailer. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, Joe's in the trailer on the forklift. Back it back up. I mean, the guy would have had to come to shut his doors. That's why I wasn't worried. Like, he's not going to drive away with the trailer door shut. So I knew he'd see me eventually. But my coworker comes running out. He's screaming. He's cussing. The driver's like, oh, I didn't realize it. And he backs me back up. And I put the next three pallets on him. And we're like, dude, how did you not feel me in there? You're sitting in there. I know you can feel the forklift going in and out of your trailer. Like, how do you know I'm not in there? He's like, oh, no, man. I thought you were done. And so... He goes,
clearly not.
No. So he goes back to the mill, comes back with another load. And I told him, you go wait in that office where I can see you through that window until I'm done with your trailer. And then I will come get you and tell you it's time to leave. But I want to see you in that office. That guy didn't last very long. But
I guess. But that's awesome. I'm glad you told him that, though. That's good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unloading and loading trucks all the time, especially when it's cold, the driver's waiting in the cab, they're usually running their truck. You just trust that they're going to check before they leave, because usually they got to go and check what we put on them anyway, you know, especially if it's a customer truck coming in or an LTL truck we're shipping stuff out on. They got to go and check the skids and sticker them and stuff like that. So, most of those guys are standing in there watching me do my job anyway. But this guy, one of our own drivers, who should know better to begin with, just had a brain fart, I guess. Forgot I was loading his truck.
Yeah. I guess that's the way to say it.
I'm very paranoid about this situation happening to me. And Joe, you understand. I mean, being a guy who worked LTL loading trucks,
oh yeah.
Sometimes you're not the only person that's loading trucks on that trailer. I mean, you might have just using cities for around where we live, because I know that better. So like, say one forklift driver, he has a piece of freight that, you know, is going coming from Allentown, going on your trailer for your deliveries that day. And there's another guy on the other side of the dock who has freight coming from Toledo, Ohio, but one skid goes on your trailer. So there's multiple forklift drivers going on your trailer, loading it. And I'm very paranoid about this. That's why whenever I think I'm done, I always make sure that I put the lock on my trailer before I even pull it away. That way, because I'm the only one with the key on the lock. None of the dock workers have keys to the locks. That way, I know when I pull away from my trailer, and even to the point where, because it's such clockwork that sometimes you're like, did I lock it? Did I not lock it? I just reach in my pocket, make sure I feel that key. Because if the key's in my pocket, it means that the lock's on the trailer door. But it's one of my biggest fears is having somebody still on the trailer, or God forbid, almost on the trailer, and they drive off the dock or that gap there. It happens. Oh, yeah. We've heard about it happening at our terminal, but at our company. And it's like, it's scary because you can get really hurt, because I don't think people realize how heavy those forklifts are. They're extremely heavy.
Not to mention, they don't have airbags or anything like that on. So they drive it off the dock. They're going nose down first, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's several thousand pounds hitting into the concrete.
Yep.
And you've got a little lap belt to hold you in there. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
No, that was always one of my fears, but I knew in that situation, I was like, he's not going to drive away with me because he still has to close his door. So I wasn't too worried about it.
Good thing for swing doors.
Yeah. I was just like, man. Oh yeah, if it was a, yeah, if it was a slight roll up door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he still
would have thought
it.
That you closed it.
I'll be honest with you, Joe. You are much more patient and kinder than I would have been. You know what? After all, you know, it's not. I just when I hook up to my trailer at night, I always walk back. If it's still on the dock, I walk back. I you know, make sure that the wheels are still chalked. I kick the tires, look at the lights, and I look to see if, you know, we have chains at the doors at Pitt, Ohio. They have chains at the doors, and if the chain is still down, then they're still loading that truck. Even if your door is shut, your chain has got to be up before you pull that truck, before you pull that trailer away. And it's just, those are just things that those are common courtesies for the driver to make sure that everybody else is safe.
Yes.
Make sure that what happened to you doesn't happen.
Another nice thing, just check.
It's always just check.
I don't know if it's like this at all the terminals, Dad, but I know at my terminal in the evening, when I back in, I've noticed that the guys who are unloading trailers, if they're ready to unload my trailer as soon as I back in, sometimes they're not, but if they are, I've noticed that they wait until they see me out of my truck. And when I unhook my cables, especially the lights, when they see the lights go off, they know I'm unhooking and it's okay to open my door and everything. But they've given me the courtesy of just making sure, listen, when we know that that trailer is being unhooked, we know it's okay. But until then, they wait. And that's, I'm glad, because when it comes to that stuff, I'm paranoid.
And it's a good thing because, like you said, people do get hurt and you have to be careful.
Yeah. I don't think I could handle it real well if I was responsible for somebody losing, maybe not their life, but like their ability to work. Like, I mean, you really can get critically injured with that kind of stuff. And I just, it would kill me. I would feel awful. I'd probably offer him half my paycheck for life just because I feel bad. No, I'm just kidding. But
might not feel
bad. I would feel awful. I really would.
I agree with you. I do. So you were very kind and very much more patient than I would have been.
Oh, you're talking to Joe.
Yeah, I'm talking to Joe.
Well, I figured my coworker had given him an earful enough the way he had sworn at him, almost pulled him out of the truck. And so I was like, well... You know,
for him,
he did, and that was just it. That's as soon as I felt that trailer move a little bit, I stopped moving my forklift so that I wouldn't end up backing off the ass end of a forklift or a trailer that had just pulled away from the dock. So I knew enough to just wait. What is this guy doing up there? Did he not realize I'm still in here? And sure enough, he didn't. So I just sat still and.
The only thing I can think of that he was thinking in that situation, and he probably wasn't, because you can tell the difference, but if he's a new driver, like with a CDL, maybe he doesn't, is sometimes, and I know you know this, Dad, when you back into a dock and you say you're sitting in your truck and there's people loading trucks or trailers in next to you, you do feel the rumble sometimes of somebody on a forklift in the trailer next to you, just because that trailer then bounces and hits the dock a little bit and then it vibrates over to yours.
Yeah, the weight transference, you can feel it.
You can tell the difference when they're on your truck and when you feel on that, because it's it's a little vibration versus you're rocking, you know? But this guy probably just was pretty clueless because you said he didn't last very long. So.
No, he, that's the funny thing too. He wasn't a new driver. He just wasn't smart person, to say it kindly. I guess he wasn't all there, and he was friends with the warehouse manager, and the warehouse manager talked the line manager into hiring him, and it was a kind of a sideshow after that. But it's one of those things where at least I knew I had enough experience in that moment to just stop and wait to see what was going on. Because if I had thought, if I wasn't paying attention and I kept backing out, then I probably would have backed off the end of his trailer. And who knows what would have happened.
Is that the first time is that the only time it happened to you? Because I feel like I remember seeing an email that happened to you twice.
Yeah, it did, at the same place. Different. The second time it happened, it was a new driver. And it was an over-the-road guy. And I knew from the get-go, like, I was in trouble for this guy. When he first showed up, he parked at the opposite end of our, because this building where we worked, there was four outfits sharing this one really long building. And we were all separate. We were all walled off, but there's four companies in this one spot. And so first of all, he's at the wrong place. And he comes in and he's like, "Where do I go?" I was like, "You're supposed to be right here." And I told him we had 28 bays and I had three bays wide open right in the middle. And I told him to hit the open one in the middle. So he had two empty bays beside him. Should have been, you know, pretty simple backup. It took him almost an hour to back into the bay to begin with. And so I kind of knew, I'm like, all right, well, this should be interesting. And
interesting is an understatement.
Well, and I even asked him, I was like, don't want to be rude here, but you've been driving long. He's like, "This is my first trip." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "This is my first load I've ever taken." I'm like, "Oh, okay. All right. Clearly. Well, yeah." And so, you know, he got them all situated. The problem was the bay, the dock I told him to back into, the dock lock was broken. Should have asked him to move so that I could lock him in, but it had already taken him an hour just to get into that door. So,
right. Yeah. He didn't have the next day to get the trailer in the door.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to just, I was like, all right, let's unload you. You can go wait in the truck. With these over the road guys, and especially, you know, we don't want them waiting inside where we're working. This was a full fledged distribution center. I was not the only piece of equipment running around that building, you know, not the only forklift unloading and loading trailers up front, you know. So we would always ask them to wait in their truck for safety reasons. And honestly, it's kind of annoying to have a guy stand there and watch you unload his truck. You know, it's just, but so I get done unloading his truck and we're doing the paperwork, and he actually, this isn't normal. It wasn't normal. He actually had a take back because the previous load from that company had some bug infested pallets on it. So we were sending those pallets back on his truck. So I'm in there loading his truck. It's a 53-foot trailer that I just emptied and I'm putting three skids onto. So that's, you know, for people who've never done it, that's a pretty long drive on a forklift in the side of a 53-foot trailer. I'm literally just set the last pallet down. This is probably my bad. I flipped on my light and I'm filling out the paperwork while I'm still in his trailer. And I think what happened is it stopped moving. So he pulled forward to get his doors closed before we did the paperwork. And he pulls forward and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, "Oh, here we go again." And my other coworker wasn't around to go run and cuss at him. So I just waited and he comes and I had already rolled back to where he could see me. I'm like, "Dude, you got to back up again." And of course I'm sitting there thinking it took him an hour to back this thing up the first time, even though it's a straight shot, how long is it going to take to get me back on the dock? But he did good. It was a straight shot. He's able to just back it straight up and get it in there. And I rolled off there, gave him his paperwork, got him out of there. And I'm just like, I'm never unloading a truck on a door that doesn't have a dock lock again, ever. And I never did. We flagged the doors that the dock locks didn't work. And we told management, we're like, "These doors are not operational. We will not use them. They're not safe. We don't have a dock lock." I've had two trailers drive away with me in them in the last 6 months. I'm not doing it again because one of these times I'm going to be on my way in or out when they pull away. Yeah. And I don't want it that. You know, those concretes, people probably don't know, but forklifts, the whole ass end of the forklift is solid concrete. Yes. It's like 2 tons of concrete that you're sitting on. So
plus those batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not light.
No.
They are not light.
I mean, I guess some are, you know, propane, but I know the ones at my terminal, they're battery, and those things are stinking heavy too. So,
I hate electric forklifts.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Give me a propane. Oh, yeah. The best one ever ran was a diesel. That thing was a monster.
Wow.
That was
I bet it was.
I love that one.
Can do anything with that one. We had a propane ones for the longest time, and I guess it's odd, they said that we had to get electric ones because the propane that we could get access to at our terminal, I guess in the area, there was something wrong with it, and we were going through tons of filters on our machines to the point where it made more sense for them to get rid of them all and get electric ones. That's why they got electric ones, because we had propane. Propane's better, but we were I guess they were burning through money keeping them up to date. But Joe, man, tell me about the sunroof.
Yeah. That's another funny story. A good one.
So that was at the same place, the animal feed place. One of my coworkers, it's actually one of my closest friends now, but let's just say he likes, well, I'm not naming him, so I'll just say it. He likes to smoke pot a lot. And so he's a little foggy a lot of the times, for one thing. But anyway, so in the summer, our feed would get infested with bugs. And so we had a trailer all the way at the end of the building that was a bug trailer. And so you'd get a pallet that had 10 bags that was infested. So you had all these different sized pallets. So we would stack them from floor to ceiling, nose to butt, you know? And so he's trying to get a pallet out so that he can take it back. Cause we would fumigate these trailers, let them sit for a couple weeks, and then you'd come get them out and we'd go clean the bugs off of them. So he's trying to grab one of these pallets to go take it out back and clean it. Well, I don't know if he wasn't paying attention or if he just didn't realize that the guard, you literally had about 3 inches clearance from the guard to the roof once you lifted this pallet. So he just went in, and instead of watching the top, he's watching the bottom, and he just goes in and he just lifts. And he lifts that sucker up and put the forklift guard right through the top of the trailer, put like a good 4 foot by 6 inch hole in the top of that trailer.
Wow.
And then peeled it back about a foot and a half because he started moving while he was lifting it.
My word.
And I was behind him because I was waiting to go on and grab another pallet after him. And I couldn't move for about 10 minutes because I was laughing so hard, tears flooding down my face.
Oh, I bet.
But the funniest part was once he did it, he just sat there and he stared at it for like, it seemed like 5 minutes. It might have been 30 seconds. But he just sat there and stared at it. And then he slowly turns his head around, looks at me with these big eyes like, oh, shit, man, what did I do? You know, and I'm dying, you know, and he's like, what do I do? I'm like, go tell the boss, man. Like, there's nothing you can do. I mean, it was a trailer that was out of service for the road, you know. So it was literally, we called it the bug trailer because that's where we put the buggy pallets, you know. And
sure.
So it wasn't even road worthy anymore. So if it wasn't that big of a deal, they basically tarped it so they could fumigate it the next time, but. It was hilarious. What was more hilarious was just his reaction to it. He just sat there and stared at it forever. Like, did I really just do that?
One of my buddies at work, Jake, he listens to the show too. He's just a character. I love talking to him. He's a great guy. And before he started driving, he worked a dock. And I think it was either shortly before I got hired or shortly after I got hired, I didn't see it. I just heard about it. I guess he was loading a trailer and there was a pole that he was loading towards, I guess, the nose or something. I might be butchering it, but he accidentally ran the pole through the wall of the trailer in the nose.
Right through the bulkhead.
I've seen guys put the forks through the front of the trailer before. Or so they'll scrape their fork all the way along the side of the trailer. I've seen it was funny. I was just talking to my cousin the other day about coming on the show and about my experiences. And he said he saw a video somewhere online of somebody bumping a rack that made a domino effect and knocked all of the racks over. And he said he was watching a fail video, and so he saw somebody drop a pallet of wine or something. He's like, that probably doesn't happen very often, huh? I'm like, I said, it happens about once a week in a warehouse that somebody drops a pallet.
Probably more often than people think.
Yeah. I was like, that. I said, that's every day. At least every day somebody puts a fork through a pallet or drops one.
Yes.
You know, I worked at a
you got that right.
Auto supply place, and one of the guys I worked with in receiving was bringing in a brand new pallet of oil, just pulled it right off the truck, took the corner too tight, the whole pallet dumped, and about 3 or 4 cases worth of oil just busted open all over the ground. And he's just standing
That's
there looking
a tough cleanup.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 He came in and asked myself and the other guy back there, is like, what do I do? And we're like, you clean it up. Like, first of all, go pick up the boxes that are leaking so more oil doesn't spill out on the ground. And then you clean it up. What do you mean, what do you do? Like, you know, I mean, I've put nice sized dents into racks and dropped pallets, put my forks, you know, my forks were too high to get into the pallet and put it right through the entire bottom of dog food pallet. That always sucks because then you have to down stack the whole pallet because the bags on the bottom are ripped open. And
they're spilling all over.
Yeah. We've all done it.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, it's funny. The guy who does the mess, you know, and he looks at you and goes, what do I do? That's the guy, you're glad he's not an EMT. You're glad he's not the paramedic. You know what I mean? That's not the guy I want in an emergency.
Yeah.
That's the person that ran through my head when you said that. What do I do? What do you mean? You got oil leaking all over the floor. Clean it up.
Well, and he was outside still too. So it's leaking all over the pavement outside.
Exactly.
So it's just like, man, you go clean that up. Yeah,
I had a guy. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that warehouse. People were knocking stuff over and crashing into stuff all the time because it was so small. It was like 3 buildings, kind of all built together. So each section was on a different level. So you're constantly going up little ramps, tight corners. They put racks. They literally would build the racks so your forklift had about a foot clearance on either side. So if you weren't paying 100% attention all the time, you were knocking racks. You would catch a pallet on a corner of a rack, which would make the pallet tip. I mean, there's only 4 of us that were even allowed to operate equipment in that building because it was so tight. So, but yeah, it happens all the time.
It really does. I know when I go do a delivery and maybe something's damaged a little bit or something, they're like, oh, I'm really surprised. I'm like, I'm not surprised. Do you know how many trailers this thing was on before it got to you?
Right.
It's not like it got picked up and then brought right here.
Right.
I mean, it was on 2, 3, 4 trailers before it got here.
But it's always the last guy's fault.
Of course.
That's industry standard, isn't it? Like,
it sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Yes. I just a few weeks ago, I had a hazmat load, and one of the drums, I've never seen this happen before. One of the drums, the metal banding around the top popped off while I was driving. And so this fluid was sloshing around and making a mess.
Oh, no.
And I got there, and the safety guy's looking at it, and he's like, the guys running the docks need to be more careful, this, that, and the other. They just started blaming the dock workers. And I'm like, dude, this isn't a dock worker issue. Like, it's a banding issue. Like, do you see any fork marks on this? Because trust me, if it was a dock worker, you would see it punctured. They don't just go through and pop off lids because they like it. You know, like,
I got nothing better to do. I'm gonna walk around, pop the lids off of all these drums.
I was like, you must be having a bad day because you just want to find somebody to blame for this.
You can always tell. I had one guy come in and he was bringing us feed, so they're in bags wrapped in plastic on the pallet, you know, and both pallets had bags ripped on the right side, which was the side of the trailer it was loaded on. And I pull him off. I'm like, dude, you guys damaged these loading them. And he's like, oh, no, it came to us that way. It's like, dude, there's chunks of the bag stuck to your trailer. Like, I can see where the guy scraped it against the wall and tore it open. Like, my product stuck to your trailer. I know you guys did it. Just sign here. Like,
right. Exactly.
I'm, well, you know, with the auto parts place, we would get a bulk of our material. We were a Federated Auto Parts place, and that all came out of South Carolina. So, you know, it hit at least three docks before it even hit our door, coming from South Carolina to each LTL dock on its way to us in Spokane, Washington. That stuff always came in messed up, but it's auto parts. As long as the part inside's fine, people don't care if the box is smushed.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So tell me about sleeping dock workers, because I have experience with these guys too.
The story I put in my email, that was really weird. That was almost sleep. That place is a big square with two sections of racking with a middle aisle, a back aisle, and a front aisle. It was law, if you're going from front to back or whatever, you honk at that middle aisle because of the cross traffic. And cross traffic had right away. So I'm coming down the aisle, I'm stocking something in the aisle, I get done, I'm about to head back up front, and I can see a reach truck coming my way. So I'm sitting there waiting, and I look at him like, why is he going so slow? Nobody goes slow around here. Like, it's a well-oiled machine. We're all just flying around honking at each other so we know where we're at, you know. And then I look closer, and his head's leaning against the metal bar behind him, and his arms just barely on the throttle. And so he gets closer, and I just lay on the horn. He jumps, just ranks the wheel, and almost crashes into a rack. And he's looking at me like, he's like, don't tell anybody. And then he just drove off. And I was like,
that's hilarious.
I won't tell anybody here, but I'll tell somebody later. But
now you're telling the world.
Yes, sir.
Well, that would happen all the time. Like, you'd run down an aisle and you'd see somebody parked off, like, you know, kind of in a corner somewhere, and you knew they're either down there on their phone, or a lot of times we had this one older guy, and he would just park down in a part of an aisle where there wasn't much merchandise, and he would just fall asleep standing up on his stand-up lift. He'd be on his reach truck, and he'd just cozy up against the side of it and sleep for about 15 minutes, about a couple times a day. And nobody ever said anything to him. Nobody ever did anything.
Wow. You know,
if you drove by him and honked and woke him up, he'd chase you down and cuss you out. So everybody just kind of, they just left him alone. Right?
Wow, he's like the cranky old man. Get off my lawn, kid.
Oh, he was.
He took the phrase, I show up here for a paycheck, a little too literally. Yeah. He didn't want to do anything else.
No, that's funny.
He was one of our stalkers. We would receive the stuff in, sticker it, and date it, and then him and another guy they're the ones who stocked it. And this guy was probably in his 50s. The other stalker was around 70, and neither one of them was very quick at what they did, but they were good at their jobs. They just weren't really fast, and they like to take naps, I guess. You know, I don't know. Me personally, I couldn't do that. We've all been tired at work, but I wouldn't go parking. I wouldn't be able to sit there and sleep peacefully. I'd be expecting my boss to jump around the corner. What are you doing? You know, like, I don't know, but yeah, he got away with it.
Because, you know, the minute you do something like that, that's what's going to happen. You know, if you do it, it's always that way. You know, you're like, I could never do that, because if I did that, I'm the guy that would get caught.
Yeah.
You know, my boss would pop around the corner. Ta-da.
I've always been the kind of person that can sleep anywhere. And when I used to start earlier, I used to start at 6 o'clock in the morning, always around like 1 o'clock, I just felt really, really drained. And so I would always save it for my nap time. I'd take my lunch break, my 30-minute break.
My nap time. What is this, romper room?
I would just, literally, I'd park the truck and I would sit there for maybe a minute. I just put my head against the window and I would gone. It doesn't matter if traffic's flying by me. It doesn't matter what it is. I park the truck. I put my head against the window and I'm out. And I would just set my alarm for 5 minutes before I had to get rolling again. It would go off and I'd kick it, because if it goes off, it would go off in 5 more minutes. Then I knew I had to roll. But I mean, I literally, I'm the kind of person I can just go any. And Dad, you know this. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd just fall asleep anywhere.
Holy crap. Yeah. The joke that Michelle and I, Tony's mom, had between ourselves is, if Tony's knees were bent, like if he was sitting down, he was sleeping.
Yep.
He sat down on the sofa to watch TV. In 10 minutes, he was out. If you were sitting in the car and you were going someplace, he was out.
You guys
it
always
didn't
said,
matter.
You guys always said, when the sun goes down, so does Tony.
And, you know, that's total opposite of me. I can't sleep anywhere. If I'm in, even driving at night, when I pull over, you know, if I'm sitting at a relay point and I'm waiting for a guy for an hour, I can't sleep. My brain is constantly going. I'm like, when is he going to get here? That's how my brain is. So I just have to distract it with, you know, podcasts or radio or whatever. You know, I can't just sleep in my truck. I'm not one of those guys.
What I do, I just take deep breaths. I close my eyes and I just take really deep, slow breaths. And literally within like a 30 seconds to a minute, I'm gone.
I wish I could do that.
I just slow my heart rate down. I don't know. I just
do a little meditation mode.
It's like my Zen mode. I just go and I'm off.
No, it's always been that way for you. So it's like you're constantly in that Zen mode.
Yeah. It's great.
I'm sitting down. My knees are bent. My knees are connected to my eyelids. Then when my knees bend, my eyes close.
It's because I work so hard in life, Dad. Oh.
I don't know about that.
Listen, I see that we got, I want you to tell this story. You had a guy who was in his 70s and sprinkler systems. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. You know where to go from here, brother.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the guys I just previously mentioned. It is one of our stalkers at that place. And
one of the sleepers.
Yeah. Well, this one, the older guy, would actually sleep only in the break room. He never slept on his. But anyway, we would get bales of hay and wheat or barley, horse feed and stuff like that. And they're about 6 foot, 7 foot stacked pallets. And the aisle they decided to stock these things in was one of the aisles where this fire sprinkler system ran down the middle between the two racks on either side. And within the first 6 months, year I worked there, this dude, same guy, always the same guy, would be stocking those big pallets of hay, and he hit the sprinkler head, causing the sprinkler head obviously to break and water to go everywhere. Every time one of those sprinkler heads got broken, the fire department would show up, and they'd show up, shut the water off for us, and then we'd have to have one guy spend the night because the sprinkler system's down. So if there's a fire, the sprinklers aren't going to go off. And so it always took a day for them to get that sprinkler, at least a day to get that sprinkler head fixed and the water back on. So somebody would have to spend the night in case the building caught on fire. Somebody would be there to call the fire department because the sprinkler system was out. And on the fourth time he did it, he hit it so hard with the pallet that it didn't just break the sprinkler head, it broke the pipe. And so I was just like this. And usually when the sprinkler head broke, it just would squirt water out the top of it. It was just, you know, it was quite a bit of water, but it wasn't like a flood. This time when he broke the pipe, it was like gallons of water just shooting like a waterfall out, just coating everything. We had water on the ground for 5 or 6 aisles. Like that whole half of the building had water on it. And that's what I looked, my boss was there. He came out to see it. Everybody's there. Once the guy hit it, everybody's looking at it. People are scrambling to get product out of there so it doesn't get wet. You know, we're trying to mop it up or whatever. And I looked at my boss, I'm like, why don't we move the rack? And he's like, oh, I never even thought of that. All we have to do is move one shelf down, and then you got a bar in front of all those sprinkler heads, and you can't hit it anymore. He's like, that's a really good idea. And so the next day, me and another guy moved the shelves down two notches, and the sprinkler heads never got hit again. It's just like, this building's been operational for this long, and you never thought of that? This guy's hit four sprinkler heads, at least, that I know of, and nobody's ever thought to move the rack, like, move the shelf to protect the sprinkler heads. But the fire
department give you a pay raise for that idea. I mean, really? I mean, this is
no.
Like,
no.
It's like, you know, at that point, Joe is now the president of the company. You know what I'm saying? No. It's like nobody's thinking. It's like, wow. Very good, Joe. That's awesome.
I worked there for almost 3 years, and I got one raise of 25 cents, and so that's
wow.
So I left.
Lucky you. Yeah. I don't blame you. Here's like, a quarter, kid.
Yeah, that's always been a slap in the face. Like, oh, because every review I've ever had, pretty much at any job, has always gone the same. They're like, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or anything, but they're like, you're a dependable worker, you're here on time, you're a good worker, but you talk too much. Because I like to chat, and so sometimes, you know, me and coworkers sit and chat, and they're like, but you're a good worker. So, you know, here's your, you know, get you a raise. And then you're thinking, all right, cool. And they give you a quarter, 50 cents. You're like, dude, that's a slap in the face. You know, like, yeah, okay, I chat with my coworkers, but I'm getting my stuff done. It's not like I'm letting my work pile up while I'm having, you know, gossip hour. So I'd only take it for a year or two, and I'd be like, I can go somewhere else and make the same money. Maybe actually have a chance to move up in a company at some point.
Yeah.
Just never ended up working out great for me. Like I said earlier, then life happens and you have kids and you have bills you have to pay. So then you get stuck in this one direction because it's all you know.
Sure.
And yep. So.
Hence, we're truck drivers. Yeah. Right? I mean,
for 27 years.
But, you know, like you said, it's a good career. And for you,
it is.
Both of you, it from really listening is. To your show, you guys are, sounds like you're compensated well and you like the company.
And we are. Yes.
And that's,
yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, it really is important. And I'm fortunate that, you know, because, I don't think I would have got my job at Pitt, Ohio if it wasn't for the old man working there first, honestly, like, because I call him, I say, Dad, I need to make money. I need to get back into driving, all that crap. And I say, can you recommend me? And first thing he says is, are you sure? And once I convinced him, he said, yeah, you can put my name down. And so, but my boss, when he interviewed me, he told me that he had already interviewed, I think it was 2-3 people for that job. And he said, and I'm already settling in on somebody. He said, I gave you the interview because I saw your dad works for the company. Would you be willing to work part-time until something else opens up? And at that time I said, yeah, because, you know, I knew what the company held and I was stunned. He called me like the next day and he's like, I want to offer you the job if you got it, if you still want it. I'm like, yes. You know? Right. And,
well, you know, the funny thing is my terminal manager came to me and talked to me about it. Because
oh, really?
Your terminal manager called him about it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He asked me, you know, is he going to be a good worker? What's he like? You know, I built you up.
And you lied to him?
Exactly. What was I thinking?
Maybe one day we'll bring Jason on and let him
My only threat, Joe, was that's my name.
Yeah.
Don't mess it up.
Well, and that's the thing.
I'm like, here for 22, well, I guess back then it was what, 19, 17 years, whatever.
Something
it is,
like that.
Because you're here, what, 5 years, 8 years?
8 years.
Okay. Five so, years. And I'm here 27.
Yeah.
Or I'm here 23.
It was years. Let's just say.
It's been a long time.
We do
and
math.
I was like, look, I'm a truck driver. I'm not, you know, not, I'm not a mathematician. My name's not Einstein. You know? So, anyway. Yes, I actually did get talked to about it,
wow.
and he actually asked me about you and everything else. So they followed through on it.
Yeah,
you
know? I just know, like, when I got hired and stuff, I had that in my head, and I was like, I gotta bust my butt, and I did, and you know, I to the point that I hurt myself and I just kept working because I was like, I'm not going to be that guy that just got hired somewhere and goes out on light duty, you know, I'm not doing it.
You just work through it.
And so I just, you know, hammer down, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Joe, listen, man, I appreciate coming on and giving us the doc side of life, man.
Exactly.
I think you might be the first person.
The first
doc
guy.
Yeah. I think you might be the first person that works the docs that came on the show, and I appreciate that, man.
But, you know,
at
the same time, we want to encourage you, too.
Yeah.
Go for it. Looking at getting your CDL, it's a great job. It really is. And it is, you are well compensated. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've never worked in Washington, but I'm sure it's the same, you know, across the country.
I'll tell you what, Joe, and I don't know if every driver's the same way and stuff, but I know at the end of the day, I'm drained. I'm ready to go home. And at the end of the day, sometimes you're walking out and you're just like, never come back. Tired. Yeah. The next day you walk in, you get back in that truck and you're just like, let's roll.
Yeah.
You're just ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you put that in gear and you start moving and then the day wears down on you. And you're at the end of the day, you're like, I'm tired. Never doing this again. The next day you're going right back.
But you know what the beauty of the job is? A job like what we do is when I walk through that gate, I put my Pitt, Ohio hat on and I'm all about the company.
Yep.
And when I'm done at the end of the morning, when I'm done and I'm walking out the gate to go home, I take my Pitt, Ohio hat off and I don't worry about or think about any of that stuff. It stays at work.
Yep.
I don't have to drag it home with me. And that's important.
That's one thing that really appeals to me too. I don't want to have a job that I take home with me every night. Yep. You know, I don't want to be trying to watch TV or eat, you know, eating dinner, laying in bed going, oh, did I get that email answer? What emails am I going to, at least behind the wheel, you know what you're going to encounter. Yep. You're going to encounter traffic and pickups and drop offs.
That's a great point by both you guys. I mean, it's one of those things where as drivers, you go out there, you do your job. At the end of the day, it's done. You're not thinking about anything else. I mean, imagine being a terminal manager because at 3 o'clock in the morning, at any given day, 3 o'clock in the morning, you get a phone call saying, we got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's just you're always on. And even like my terminal manager, sometimes I'll text him. I have an issue and I know he's home and I'm home, but something happened with the family. I'm not going to be in or whatever. Like, it's not that kind of job. Yeah. You know, drivers, you just get to go home, you're done.
Yes.
And you don't have to be on.
And you have a really good personality, Joe. You're very quiet. You're kind of a laid back kind of guy.
Yep.
You know, you talk and you're fun to talk with, but you're a very laid back personality. You can feel that vibe, you know, and that's a good driver.
Thanks.
That is driver material. Yeah. It really is, because it can be a stressful job. And when you are doing, you know, bad weather driving, when you're doing rush hour driving, when it's, you know, holiday weekend, you know, you're driving Friday and it's a holiday weekend and everybody's out trying to get where they want to go. You have to have the kind of attitude you have. You have that laid back kind of very, hey, you know.
Joe, if you land a driving job where you're getting paid by the hour, just remember, dude, you're getting paid by the hour.
Yep.
If you're in traffic, somebody's cutting you off, don't get all flustered. Just be like, you know what? That person just cut me off. They put their life in danger, but I'm getting paid by a mile. Take a deep breath, back off, slow down, make some distance between you and them, and carry on. Because at the end of the day, your job is to protect your license and make sure that you can drive the next day. And that doesn't get protected if you do stupid stuff out there out of aggression because other people are dumb around you. So just be cool. Know that you're out there. You got to be a responsible driver. You're driving something that's extremely deadly, extremely heavy. And the people around you in the cars, they have no idea what they're messing with most of the time. They have no idea that if you just tap them, their car's total. They don't get it. And so you just got to be the responsible guy, man.
I know. I see that on the roads all the time, just driving my personal rig. Like, the way people drive around trucks just makes me shake my head. Just like, I always plan far enough ahead so I'm not having to whip in front of a truck to get my exit or whatever. You know, I know a lot of drivers. I've been in the industry for a long time, and I've been on a lot of ride-alongs. I've seen it out there, and I appreciate that advice.
Yep. And you know what? It's cool. I think it's really cool. I think it's great that you're looking to do this. And I think if your wife is anything like you, I can see why you guys would do great being a team. Or even if you get your license, she doesn't want to drive or whatever. Whatever your thoughts are there, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would just be cool. I'm really excited to have someone like you looking to get into the industry, and it'll work out. It'll all work out for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm hopeful and I'm excited to go down that road once they get me fixed up.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Jack, Young Merc, what can they do?
They can share the show.
Share the show.
Share it on Twitter. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Instagram. Go hit up that gear section in HammerLaneLegends.com. I mean, honestly, that's a really good way. You got that. You can rep that gear. You can show people what's up. You know, I mean, this is a great show. I'm just saying. I'm not, you know, biased or anything. You know what I'm saying? So I would say for sure hit up that gear section. But also, I mean, just share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Talk to people.
Reddit. Talk to people.
Get a sticker off the website. Put it on your forehead and walk around with Hammer Lane Legends logo on your forehead, because I promise you, you're going to get people to look at you, and I promise you, they're going to ask you questions. Some people are going to look at you and like, I don't want to talk to that person because they're kind of crazy. But there's going to be plenty of people who are like, yo, you're crazy. I need to know more.
Oh,
so just go do it, you know?
Yeah.
Just share the show, guys. We really enjoy having you guys here, checking out the content and all that fun stuff. And we'll be back next week with some more heaters. We're out.
Yeah, we're out.
That was good.
Rolling down that highway.
we're going to be back next week with some more heaters. We're out. Say we're out too then. Because I'm going to say we're out. And you're like, yeah, we're out. Okay.
Okay.
And we're going to be back next week with some more heaters. We're out.
We're out.
You got to be faster than that. We're going to be back next week. And we're going to be back next week with some more heaters. We're out.
We're out.
Now, right after I say it. We're going to be back next week with some more heaters. We're out.
We're out.
Don't copy me, though. Just say, yeah, we're out or something like that.
You said say we're out.
Just come up with your own thing, man.
You told me what to say.
Listen, just do your own thing.
Do it again.
And we'll be back next week with some more heaters. We're out.
Yeah, we're out.
That was good.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.